morning. I want you to hear the word of our Lord that says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. And that's from Isaiah 43, remembrance that God is eager to forgive us so that he can bless us as we seek to live as his people. I'm glad that you're here this morning so that we can celebrate our life and salvation together. On the bulletin, just know that when you leave worship today, if there's anybody in your neighborhood who might have a child, we'll be having Vacation Bible School in 2 weekends, and they can go ahead and register. All they got to do is drop forms off or come by the church office and fill out a form. But those forms are also on the white table across from our food table. But also, if you can help with VBS, we could still use one person to assist Kitty in the kitchen and somebody to help just shepherd the kids around. So if you're available, contact Mary Leah Duran, and her number is there on the back announcement in the bulletin. There's a website listed for Miles Ward, who is participating in a bike ride that raises medical support for people with HIV. You can give to that if you wish. And this will be the last Sunday that we have the birthday offering envelopes in the pews if you want to give to the Presbyterian Women's birthday offering. And the information for that is also in the bulletin as well. I'm glad that you're here. If you would, just turn to one another. Welcome one another with the peace of Jesus Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you.
Join me in the call to worship. We gather as a community of faith in God's subversive world.
We gather to celebrate that no darkness can extinguish light.
To remember that love will always be more powerful than death.
To trust that peace will always be stronger than violence.
We come to celebrate for that which was estranged, alienated, dislocated and disconnected is reconciled, healed, and made whole by God's welcome. And let us pray. God, we do thank you for your ministry of reconciliation, and we thank you so much for the love of Jesus Christ, who is willing to go to a cross and take the punishment that our sins had earned upon himself. We thank you also that he rose again to offer us the victory over death so that we could live in your presence forever. Help us as we declare your praise and give thanks for our life in Christ. Help us to do so with open minds, open hearts, and open ears so that we might hear, know, and obey what you tell us this day. Thank you for giving us that great opportunity to live, serve, and worship as your people. Receive our thanks and praise as we lift it up in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen. And let's stand and sing in praise as we sing hymn 281, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, hymn 281. Be seated. You know, almost every Sunday we do a unison prayer of confession, and we quote a scripture passage before we do it. And usually it's a passage that acknowledges, yes, we have sinned. Yes, we fall short. Yes, we miss the mark. But we also usually refer to passages that also point to one of the reasons we're motivated to even admit our faults is God is eager to redeem his people. Because that's the whole reason Jesus came. He wanted to save us from that stronghold grip that sin had on our lives. But here's what I just wanted to say about it this morning. The more I confess my sin, the more I realize I blow it. But that's not necessarily a bad thing. Because whenever I confess my sin, it reminds me how daily or how completely I am still dependent upon God's grace to be at work in my life. And so as we confess, there is this joyful aspect of admitting we go wrong in that it reminds us we're dependent on something wonderful, God's grace. And that's why Scripture says, if anyone who says they don't have any sin, they deceive themselves and the truth's not in them. But if they confess, God is just and righteous and will forgive us of all our transgressions. So with that in mind, let us pray our prayer of confession. Almighty God, you poured your spirit upon gathered disciples, creating bold tongues, open ears, and a new faith community. You gave a variety of gifts to diverse people for the same mission. We confess that we hold back the force of your spirit among us. We do not listen for your word of grace, speak the good news of your love, or live as people made one in Christ. Have mercy on us, O God. Transform our timid lives by the power of your Spirit, so that we may live and serve as your faithful people. Amen. Children of God, hear the good news. It says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old is gone and the new has begun. Know that thanks be to Jesus Christ, you are indeed forgiven. And let's respond to this joyous news as we stand and praise God with the Gloria Patri. Seated. We pass the offering plate because, yes, the church does need money to do ministry, and we do hope that the money we send out into the community does much good. But as you think about God's blessing in your life, you might want to think about those that were listening to John the Baptist preach. When he was talking about the grace of God, they said, well, how should we respond to this grace, to this God that wishes to bless our lives? And his answer was interesting. He said, if you have two tunics, give to the one who has none. If you have food, give some to the one who has nothing to eat. In other words, what he was saying is share those blessings with others. Let's keep that in mind as we reflect on God's goodness to our lives. O Lord, without your continued blessing, it is difficult indeed to go forth and bless others. And so we do ask that as we offer not only this coin, but as we offer you our time and our talents and our service, we ask that you would bless us and these gifts to be your lights in the darkness of the world today. Use us in these gifts that we offer many times over to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ. Thank you for how your Holy Spirit has filled this church and given us many a gifted member. We pray that you would just to continue to move and dwell in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hey, Hallie, you want to come on down? Good. I've got faithful Hallie with me today. Yay. I know some are out at a softball tournament. The others, I don't know. So, but I'm so glad you're here. And actually, what we're going to do is, I bet you're going to be pretty good at. I'm going to show you some pictures. And you're going to have to identify what they are, okay? And I'm going to show everybody this first one. Y'all see that? I don't know how well you can see those. But what is it? Hippopotamus, okay. You know your animals. Have you seen the one at the zoo? Pretty big, isn't it? Okay, well, this one is a funny-looking horse. Zebra, she got it right. She knows her animals quite well. Do they have zebras at the zoo? They don't, do they? No? Down on Chestnut, though, they do. One of the people out there on Chestnut has zebras. Saw three of them yesterday. You're going to have to think hard on this funny-looking guy. What is that? All right. Do y'all agree with her? She says it's a rhinoceros. Yeah. That's exactly what it is. Okay. They made a movie about this guy. What is that? Elephant. I'm glad you know your animals. You'd be good at going to the zoo. But that's right. She guessed it was an elephant. Of all these pictures, you're 100% correct. You knew the elephant, you knew the hippo, you knew the zebra, and you knew the rhinoceros. That's pretty good. I didn't show you one of a cat because I knew you would nail that one. So she happens to be a cat lover. So let me ask you this, though. A question that we need to ask is, if somebody looked at me or somebody looked at you, how would they know we're Christians? If we had a Bible, okay, yeah. I don't always carry mine with me. You know, I do carry mine with me. It's my. I have one in my cell phone. They may see my cell phone, but they may not know I have a Bible on my cell phone. So, could there be another way in which people, if they looked at you or they looked at me, might know we're Christians? Well, if they see us in church, that's a good one. Yeah, that's a pretty good clue. But you know what? I'm not always, even though I'm a minister, even I'm not always in church. You know, if they see me at the grocery store, they won't know. It's not easy to say, oh, he's a rhinoceros or he's a zebra. You know, so I want us to think about, how will people know? And as I thought about that this week, I remembered Jesus, and this is what he told his disciples. He knew there would be a day when he would go to be in heaven. Because you see, when Jesus sits in heaven, he can send his spirit anywhere he wants to fill your heart, to fill my heart, to fill their hearts, to work in the church, outside the church. If he was here in the flesh, he'd be confined to whatever place he was at then and there. So he goes up to heaven, but he knows we're here. But he sends us his spirit so that we'll be prepared to live the way he wants. The Holy Spirit helps us. And this is what he decided to do. Before he went up to heaven to sit next to God on the right hand, he said to his disciples, I'm going to be with you just a little while longer. You will look for me, but you won't find me because you cannot go where I'm going. And so I give you a new commandment. You must love each other as I have loved you. If you have love for each other, everyone will know that you're my disciples. So that's the way Jesus wants people to recognize that you're a Christian and I'm a Christian, is if we love one another. So you see how important it is? We may not even be here in the sanctuary, but we might see our neighbor, and if we love them and help them, they may go, you know that Hallie? She's such a good Christian girl. Or Brian, I appreciate he being such a Christian minister. It all is determined by if we have Christ's love flowing through our hearts into the lives of others. So, we've been praying that a lot lately, but let's ask God's help for that again. Let's do that. God, thank you for loving us. And as you pour your love into our hearts, let us not keep it to ourselves. Let it not only flow in us, but let it flow through us into the lives of others, especially those who need it most. Help the world to know we are disciples of your Son, Jesus Christ, because we do, in fact, love the world the way that you do, because your love is in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, thank you for being up here and being faithful as usual. Y'all give Hallie a round of applause. We're going to sing our next hymn. It's If Thou But Trust God to Guide Thee, hymn 282. Let's stand and sing that together, hymn 282. Seated. I'm going to read from Isaiah 56, 1 through 8. And in this, you're going to hear about foreigners and eunuchs and people that are far away or far off. And what God is is saying to Israel there in Isaiah is, my kingdom has room for all those folks. And it's interesting because God, at least in this part of Isaiah, it's the part where God's telling the people, I'm going to take you out of slavery and put you back home so that you can live as my people. And so as they're about to be set free and return back to their home and live as God's people, one of the things they need to know is how far God's love reaches. And we'll see in the New Testament, though, one of the mistakes they would make is, yeah, but as God's love goes forth to these people who are foreigners or far away, they don't live like we do, so they're unclean. They're lesser, if you want to put it that way. Some of them thought, you know, God chose us to be his covenant people. And so all the other folks, if they don't live the way we do, they're not as good. And those kinds of problems developed in their identity. And so God had to speak to them numerous times about this. So let us be attentive to the reading from Isaiah 56, verse 1 through 8. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right. For soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. Happy is the mortal who does this, the one who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath, not profaning it, and refrains from doing any evil. Do not let the foreigner join to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. And do not let the eunuch say, I am just a dry tree.
For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose the things that please me, and hold fast my covenant.
I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off.
And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it, and hold fast my covenant.
These I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples.
Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel. I will gather others to him, besides those who already gathered.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.